Are we recording? Oh, hey, we're recording. It's Friday, and it's the 14th, and we're here with Robots and Nonsense.
Man, so much E3 news.
So many E3 news that we don't know about yet.
Such shocking announcements. So shocking, we can't even talk about them. But we can talk about the Amazon. They're going to that one-day delivery. I can't wait. I think it's real soon, isn't it?
Yeah. Your body's ready.
I don't think every city's going to get it yet, but it probably by the end of the year, I'd say we'll all have it.
Yes.
And perhaps this will be a big part of it.
Amazon shows off a new all-electric Prime Air drone that will start delivering packages within months. Months. Mere months away.
Scroll down so they can see the pictures.
In giant metropolitan areas, perhaps.
No, yeah, not here.
You know what's less than months away? All the new AMD stuff. It's coming out July 7th. We learned about all that at E3.
Probably weighs little enough that it could be delivered. Now, do you think they would deliver like a $500 package?
Oh, yeah.
On one of these guys?
Yeah, Amazon's rolling the dice with those $500 packages with the randos that are bringing me very expensive equipment. It's just like some random guy shows up and it's like, not sure if homeless or Amazon delivery driver. Amazon homeless delivery driver.
This is a 5-pound limit and a 15-mile radius. It can run for 30 minutes. So, yeah, I can see how. What percentage of stuff on the truck you think is less than 5 pounds?
Probably only about 15%.
But that's a, you know, because you could be driving while that's delivering if they use that. Remember the UPS thing that they were going to do?
Do you think this would add a lot of, like, noise pollution in larger, like, metropolitan areas?
Yeah.
Where you just constantly hear, like.
They'll probably fly high enough that you wouldn't hear them until they came down.
Mm.
Now, they say they're using, neural networks and computer vision and all that to avoid power lines and dogs and things like that.
People.
Birds, pigeons.
We still have to see how the pets are going to respond to the drone coming.
Oh, we have a story about that later.
Christy, you love IKEA because you are
IKEA.
A basic white girl
mm-hmm.
in many ways.
I'm fine with that.
You also love tiny houses.
I do.
So this should have excited you.
Yeah, I like this story. IKEA is introducing robotic furniture for people who live in small spaces. It's just one like set. But it's really cool. There's a video here.
You see, a ghost lady was...
Yeah, there's a lot of ghost people in this video. But basically, you can just keep it on this slide, and one side has, like, your bed and your office, and the other side has, like, your living, entertaining space.
And then there's the couch. The couch collapses.
But the bed's, like, underneath there. Yeah, see, look. And it slides out, and then you can slide it back and forth if you're a ghost.
Kind of cool. You know what would suck about that is when the power goes out.
Yeah, and then it's like, oh, I guess I'm sleeping on the couch tonight.
Or I'm halfway between bed and couch because it went out as I was transitioning.
Oh.
So now I can't use anything.
But kind of a cool idea. I think it's being introduced in, I think it was Hong Kong and Japan first, which makes sense for how small the apartments are there.
There are a lot of fixtures like this in Korea, South Korea, it turns out. So I saw some stuff like this and... It was like, wow, this apartment is really tiny, but then it sort of transformed. It could be a bedroom or a living room or a kitchen, but not all three at the same time.
I love that kind of like design of figuring out how to use a small space that way.
What happens when the pet gets trapped as you're transforming?
Wedged.
The dog won't get off the bed.
There's probably some safeties. There's no
safeties. I imagine there's this, like an elevator door where a certain amount, But that could fail, and that could be dark. And then you're like, ever so slowly... rolling it back to untrap your animal, and it's just trailing blood.
Oh, the emotional support animal. What was the hamster? Pebbles. What was his name? Pebbles, that's right.
It makes that horrible crunching sound, and then there's just silence.
I mean, one of those things could just liquefy a hamster, for sure. When it comes to the ocean, we don't know much about what's down there. We know shockingly little about the ocean. A lot of people say we know more about space, like the immediate area of space around us, than we do our own oceans.
It seemed like we were going to have some good info, and then Jacques Cousteau retired.
He alone could penetrate the depths. Immune to pressure, as he was. But now, robots are here to save us.
GEBCO NF alumni robots win Ocean Mapping X Prize? I don't think I got the inflection correct.
Yeah, some word
a lot of word
there.
Salad in there. So this is the submarine, I think.
It's going to map the ocean floor.
Apparently, we've only mapped like 20%.
Because it's a robot.
Which is crazy.
There's a colorful, it looks like Cap'n Crunch. And then there's some things they're going to be using. This is the boat, I take it. But yeah, it's a boat-submarine combo. And... there's this prize, and you get awarded money to go and map the ocean, and that's what they're going to do.
That image didn't load for a second, so it was just black. And I was like, and this is an image from the bottom of the ocean. But the image then loaded.
Well, there goes my childhood dream of finding a sunken Spanish galleon full of gold that I would then use to fund some sort of tech think tank.
I think they take those back.
Well, you still get money for it, though. Like, you get a finder's fee.
But see, I think I'd just melt it.
Yeah, probably. Here's
what you do in that situation. Pro treasure hunter tip. Don't give it back to Spain. Melt it. Start one of those Canadian, gold panning companies, and just be like, wow, we're really successful, trickle it out over the course of 5 or 6 years.
I thought you were going to say electronics recycling. It's like, look, we've recycled a whole bunch of computers from the 80s.
I think the numbers would, like, if anybody looked into that at all, they'd be like, did you process 1 billion motherboards? Remember the video of all the spots towing a truck?
Yes.
It was amazing.
The Boston Dynamics spot robot.
And everybody said, When will you give me one of these? I must have it. And the news is good.
Boston Dynamics prepares to launch its first commercial robot, Spot. So yeah, you can buy one of these and use it for telepresence or meetings or conferences or whatever.
And they're stinking cute. This picture, it looks more like the Sentry Turret from Portal, but it looks more like a dog. If you scroll down, they have a video of it.
It's got that grabber arm. The video is adorable because
it's Spot, a Twitter post.
Picks up there a toy and serves it to a police dog.
The dog is not sure about that.
But the hilarious thing about it is he gives it to the dog and you're like, oh, that's so adorable. But you can tell the cop is like, the dog is on duty. You're not supposed to get the toy.
Look at it go. I know it's just a robot, but you want to believe it. It can feel and it's like a real being. The dog is not sure about that.
It's like, what? It's backing up. Yeah. It's nervous. I don't know.
But they wanted that toy. Did you see the cop? He's like, drop it.
The toy, you're on duty. But yeah.
That dog has a much better drop it than Rue does.
Now, they did point out that one of these things on the display floor died.
Oh.
It had to be replaced. But they did show off the control mechanism, too. And it's really cool because it has sort of like a touchscreen control. But it also has like an adventure game where you're looking through the camera. And if you just click somewhere on the scene, the robot will walk there. Incredible.
They said they were also like testing it where like they would tell it to open a door and then someone would come over and swat it away just so they would know how its behavior would be to make sure, it wouldn't get angry.
So it didn't pull a knife.
Yeah. Well, that was an interesting part of the article.
The farming situation here in the U.S. is bleak. We've had a lot of flooding and a lot of rain. And when that happens, you can't plant things. So we might be looking at some food shortages.
Ooh.
But that's fine. We'll just import it from other places and pay 50% more.
Because of the tariffs? Oh,
maybe
no.
Next year, we'll have a better ourselves. Time because of the robots.
Robots take the wheel as autonomous farm machines hit the fields. Somehow these autonomous machines are going to help prevent the fields from being flooded?
This was in Australia, I think.
Yes. But,
and they were more concerned about making sure they had like an efficient use of the chemicals so they don't destroy the Great Barrier Reef.
Yeah, so these guys, normally you would fly a plane and dump, glyphosate all over your fields, which we've learned, not so good.
Yeah.
But these things can target a weed versus an actual plant and then just get a little squirt rather than dump chemicals everywhere. That's got to be better, right? They also have...
Bloomberg.
Why? But they have the sprayers, they had tractors, they had some threshers, all of which work autonomously.
Did Timmy get caught in the wheat thresher?
Oh, Timmy's going to get caught. Yeah. It's going to be... What's the Australian version?
Pebble's the support Timmy? Hamster.
There's going to be a lot of hamsters. A lot of voles.
A lot of robot news this week.
We're getting screwed on ad blockers this week,
this
too. Look,
it's Business Insider again.
People are going to be like, you're not using the U-block.
Business Insider says that Iron Man actor Robert Downey Jr. has vowed to use robotics and AI to significantly clean up the Earth in the next decade.
This story's kind of a nothing burger, though.
Well, but here's the thing about it. I think what they should have said is Robert Downey Jr. is going to use his money.
Yes.
Because he is not going to contribute any of the robotics and to knowledge.
To be fair, he did say that, too. But, like, this article, like, just repeated the same thing over and over.
Is it Matthew McConaughey that's doing all, like, desalination research? There's another Hollywood actor that has, like, spent all of their money on conservation, like, environmental conservation.
One of those guys who was doing, like, the BP oil cleanup. He was I think that was Kevin Costner.
Oh, yeah, Kevin Costner. Yeah. Waterworld, because he's doing stuff with the water.
Is that the theme? Like, you have to, whatever your movie is, you have to save the Earth in that
family? We've got two data points that would seem to support that conclusion.
But, yeah, they invited Robert Downey Jr. to do a keynote speech at this robotics thing, and he just dropped that bomb on him. He's like, we're going to... So the idea is, in 10 years, they can use money and robotics to reduce the carbon footprint.
Neat.
Ambitious.
A little optimistic, too, because he was like, all the scientists I talked to said that, like, with all the bureaucracy and stuff, like, it would be impossible. But he's like, I don't think so. And it's like,
based on my experiences on a soundstage in a fake robot costume.
More power to him, and I hope he does good work there, but I kind of read that article and was like, I was maybe being a little pessimistic.
Could this have the same effect as the moon landing? Like, okay, maybe we don't clean up the Earth, but we could get some cool robots out of it. You know?
Yeah.
There was somewhere in the UK that has a robot that's cleaning up a little port, and it's just a little paddle wheel thing that's just picking up plastic from the ocean. Oh yeah,
the shark. We did a story about that, and then the picture didn't show up for whatever reason. We were like, what does it look like? It's just a boat.
Yeah. It's, I mean, it does the job though.
Yeah, and that's the best kind of solution, right? Like, not necessarily high tech, just autonomous, working all the time, cleaning up trash.
I bet we could teach an AI system to how to recycle goods properly, because I can't figure out the whole, like, is this biodegradable plastic or is this landfill plastic?
Usually, isn't it like the number on the bottom?
Yeah, you have to look at it and, like, figure it out and think about it and hold your mouth.
Take literal seconds.
Yeah, that's what robots. Yeah. Like, robots can just sort through. Like, everybody gets a home trash robot.
Remember they built that garbage can that was supposed to do that. But, I mean, it only held, like, 10 liters. So what are you going to put in there?
They even call it Oscar. It's like, Oscar's going to sort through the trash for me.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of trash, like, common shelter trash. These cats need to be adopted. And what better way to get them attention? To give them adorable names. But naming cats is difficult, right?
Especially when you have so many going through your shelter every week.
Yeah, the local shelters use themes. And my cats, before I adopted them, were Mario and Luigi. There was a video game batch. I didn't like those names, though. I renamed them. And before that, they did a Game of Thrones batch I was looking at.
I remember seeing that.
So... it's still a lot of work. Why not let the machines do it?
Whiskery Doo AI named these adorable, adoptable kittens.
Whiskery Doo is my favorite, but there were some other really good ones in here.
Sparky Buttons. I noticed that a disproportionate number of these kittens seem to be abused in some way.
Tom Glitter. Sparky Buttons.
Sparky Buttons has got an eye problem.
Sparky Buttons is a cute name for a cat.
Whiskery Doo. Star Maker.
Star Maker is either the third eye of the raven or blind.
There was another great one they said had been Mr. Sinister. Sinister's been adopted. So here were some of the names. Notion, Monocle, M. Tinklesby, Linkletter Soap, Scat Cat Butthole, Fudge Putty, Butt, all in caps. So this is similar to we talked about the one that named the horses. I think this is the same girl.
Whiskery Doo is so cute.
Yeah. So, great name. Apparently, cat names, for whatever reason, I think because people do like goofy names for the cats, it came up with a lot of butt-related names, and she had to tweak it a little bit. I don't know why that is. Cats, maybe because of the fact that cats' favorite thing to do is show you their butt, which I think is a friendly thing in the cat world.
I guess.
Speeding tickets. Terrible, right?
Right.
Horrible things to get. Now, even worse than getting the speeding ticket is getting shot while getting the speeding ticket. Cops are a little antsy. You know, they're like wild horses where just any little thing and they will shoot you. So that's what makes this robot even more useful.
So, yeah, it's this robot could write you a ticket for speeding, strictly robots. Well, I don't.
Look at, I love that they put the hat on it.
Oh, well.
That was the best part.
I mean, it's functional because it reduces glare on the video, but also adorable.
Why do you need this? Because, like, I drove through New York once, and I got a ticket for going, like, 2 miles over in a speed zone, and they just mailed it.
Well, the reason you need this is, if you ever watch the Police Activity YouTube channel, which has probably been banned and demonetized, so often, these guys will walk up to a window, and somebody inside just starts shooting. Like, they've got warrants, or, you know, they know if, once they run that name, they're going back to prison, so it's like, you know, hey, we'll take a chance. So the idea here is the cop just sits in their car, and it's all automated through this little robot.
Okay.
It seems like a lot of cost that... I don't know how effective, because you could, in theory, just turn around and shoot the cop, right? Like, if they're in their car. I guess it'd be a harder shot.
It would be much harder, and then they're shooting forward while you're shooting backwards, so they have a huge advantage. The other thing this little guy will do... He's all friendly, you know? It's all about safety and friendliness. He has a spike strip under him, which he rotates out under your car. So if you try to drive off on him, that ain't happening. But a friendly spike strip.
They're painted pink.
The hot new thing, and I haven't checked it out yet. Chris, I think you're watching the Chernobyl.
Just finished it. The last episode was a week and a half ago from this episode. Yeah, it's all out now.
Oh, how many episodes in total?
I think it was 5 or 6.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah, it's a miniseries.
I knocked that out this weekend.
Yeah.
And so nuclear radiation is hot right now. It's a big time.
Been hot, but it's really hot right now.
You want to get your news stories out about it right now. And the LA Times, that's what they did.
High radiation levels found in giant clams over U.S. nuclear dump in the Marshall Islands. There's a picture of it here.
Yeah, so...
Well, there's a picture of the clam, not the radiation.
We dug a big hole, and we put all the nuclear waste in it, and it's probably leaking.
Those are not the clams. The browser's not performing well. There he is.
It's a picture of a clam.
Look how irradiated he is.
Yeah, it turns out a lot of radiation.
The report on it, they say that they saw, like, seawater coming in and out, and they're like, surely that means it's leaking, but... Then some people say, no, it's fine. Don't worry about it.
Well, it's the powers that be are like, no. We know that there's this giant hole in the ground that's filled with radiation. But that can't be what's in the seawater. That's just from when we set those bombs off to test originally.
Back in like the 40s and 50s.
Yeah, it's like that background radiation. These clams live a long time, obviously. So, suspicious?
A little suspicious.
Human civilization. Here we are, late stage capitalism, as they say. How much longer? You know, it's interesting that the one of the common themes that every civilization has, no matter how far apart they were, when they developed, whatever, they all have an end scenario. As humans, we've always anticipated that this is the end. It never has been. But... perhaps this is the time.
New report suggests a high likelihood of human civilization coming to an end starting in 2050. Climate change analysis was written by a former fossil fuel executive and backed by the former chief of Australia's military. You know the report that Exxon wrote in 1982 about how many parts per million CO2 would be in the atmosphere was accurate to within like 3% for the projections for 2020?
Yeah, well, those guys know what they're doing. So they claim what we need is a World War II-esque mobilization, because that was total war. We put all...
Everything went on hold.
All the factories. People stopped eating bread because we had to ship the bread. You use those factories to make food that would be shipped overseas to the soldiers. So they're saying that level of conversion to fighting... climate change.
Remember when kitchen companies started making firearms for the World War?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, everybody was making rifles.
There was some company that there was a kitchen. I think it was a kitchen company, and they made a batch of 1911 handguns, and they were made so well, the army was like, "No, you're not going to be making firearms. You're going to be making aircraft parts."
Yeah, and we're like tank shells.
Yeah.
You know, we're not making toasters. We're making tank shells now. Now, I would argue the best way to deal with this would be World War II-esque, but in terms of population reduction.
There goes the monetization. No.
And if we if we keep up with these tariffs, we might get our way there. Yeah. Now, Wendell, you're a tea drinker. Krista, you drink coffee.
I do drink coffee.
How many cups a day do you say you drink?
I usually just drink one in the morning.
That is...
And not even every day.
Those are rookie numbers.
Up to 25 cups of coffee a day is still safe for heart health, study says.
That seems excessive.
That seems like that would not be healthy for your anxiety.
No.
Well, they're not measuring that.
I wish there was a way to measure that.
Arterial hardening. So some people believe that drinking coffee is bad for your arteries. But they did the math, they ran the numbers, and they said, nope. Now, it might be that what they didn't study, which was interesting, is 0 cups of coffee.
They don't have a control.
They studied less than 3 to 5, more than 5, and up to 25.
I think they said the most people were in the 5 cups group.
They had to turn some people away because they were over 25.
Wow. Which,
how do you have time to do anything else?
I had 3 pots of coffee today. It's like, are your teeth just fluorescent yellow? How does that...
How do you not be jittery as hell is what I want to
know.
Well,
you do develop a huge tolerance.
I guess.
I mean, look, some people take 50 Oxycontin a day or Vicodin or something. And there's going to be a lot of comments like, no, it's not that. It's Percocet.
Perk 30s.
No.
How about UFOs?
Right.
We've always been excited about them.
I want to believe.
But are they real? The Navy says they are.
The Navy says that UFOs are real. UFO hunters are thrilled. So there's a bunch of articles about this. The Vice article doesn't have as much detail as some of the other articles do.
Shocking that Vice doesn't have the meat.
There was this video, and it was from like 2013. It was declassified in 2018, and there's some more information that came out about it in 2018. But the oldest video is from like 2013 or 2014. But basically. The Navy was doing some kind of an exercise, and they were buzzed by these UFOs. And so it's like, is it the Air Force playing a joke on the Navy? I mean, I guess that's possible. But the Navy didn't know anything about what these things were. And the way that they were moving, they could not have had a human pilot, because a human pilot would not have survived the accelerations involved. So it would have had to have been some kind of a drone. But there's no drone technology that we know of that would do that, or that's declassified.
Usually when you talk about UFOs, you have like these terrible grainy videos, and you're like, well, it could be a pigeon, or it could be an ant crawling across the lens. This Navy pilot got a radar lock on it.
Yeah.
And they have the recording of them, so it's like, are you seeing this? Can you believe this? Oh my God, now it's over there. And so...
Yeah.
It's something.
It moved so fast, the radar lock thing couldn't lock onto it, which is like an insanely fast... Because the radar lock is even designed for like supersonic projectiles. So that it would go from not moving to supersonic and then not moving again is... we don't know of a propulsion system that would do that.
What's more interesting? Is it more interesting that technology exists... And it's man-made, and it's been hidden from us for that long, or aliens have done it, and they're here, and that's been hidden up from us.
The thing that I like about that is that those are pretty much the only two possibilities.
Yeah, because
there's
what
so much evidence.
Yeah,
I mean, there could be there's a third, that there's some like hidden precursor race that lives here on Earth that's also been hidden from us.
I wasn't going to say that lives here on Earth, that lives in like one of the moons of Jupiter or something.
Well, that's alien though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, anything outside of us.
So still, it's like...
What if we have those precursors and they started here in the U.S. mainland? Well, we can't call them Native Americans. What are we going to call them? Because that's what they are.
The progenitors.
That's taken.
The Architects. That was what they called an Alien franchise, right?
I'm pretty sure we just invented a new best hit series on Netflix.
I don't think we're the first people to come up with that.
I don't think Netflix wants to buy that kind of stuff right now.
What about the the Native Americans? Didn't the Native Americans that lived out west say that there was a species of sentient people that lived in the caves in like the Grand Canyon? Maybe that's a technologically advanced race that lives below the surface forest. Of the earth.
Could be. Who knows? YouTube, as we have covered, cracking down on some of the more controversial
cracking down on terrible human beings as well as good human beings alike.
But in Spain, they don't need YouTube to do it. The court system will do it.
YouTuber who gave a man a toothpaste-filled Oreo has been sentenced to prison, the report says. Now, it's probably going to be a suspended sentence, because it's like, it's a terrible human being, but prison?
Well, and they also don't mention in the headline. They say gave man. It was a homeless guy.
Yeah.
And he paid him money to eat it and film it. And
yeah, like 200 euro or whatever.
I thought it was like 20 euro. It was like hardly anything.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
But
he's going to have to give the guy $20,000 U.S. about.
Because he got so much ad revenue.
The reason it will be suspended is because they suspend all of their sentences under 2 years for nonviolent
things. For first offenders, yeah.
So, still, it'll go on your record. And, more importantly, he is banned for 5 years.
Yeah. The court said he's not allowed to use any social media or anything for 5 years.
And he had 1.2 million subscribers, so you imagine that was his
income. Yeah.
So, he's...
It's going to have a rough time.
He's in trouble. And you know what else is in trouble? This web browser. Is that story?
Well, our next story is hilarious because it's Japan's labor minister saying that high heels are absolutely necessary to be part of the...
They're part of the job.
I'm going to have to kill this.
Oh. I wanted to... I can't remember the exact wording of the guy because it was...
It doesn't matter what the exact wording is. It was seriously like, no, some businesses need women to wear high heels.
Yeah, and like that's like, the way he put it, but it was very like it was necessary for them to do their jobs in high heels. And it's like, is that true though? Like,
yeah, he definitely believed that, but...
But here's the thing. Is that any different than requiring someone to wear a suit?
Well, I think that if men are required to wear high heels, it's fine.
But I mean, I'm sure you're required to wear a certain kind of shoe as a man. Now, they do point out that high heels are uncomfortable. I've never tried them.
They're extremely uncomfortable, depending on the kind that they require, too. Like, if you're just doing, like, a boxy kitten heel, that's probably fine and not going to hurt your feet too bad. But, like, if you're talking, like, a stiletto that's, like, 3 inches high, like, that's going to hurt your arch.
Do you think they designate the height?
They might. I mean, I don't know.
They might.
He didn't in this article, but...
It's almost just like, no, women have to wear heels. That's women's job. And it's like, okay.
No.
That's...
Kutu is a play on some Japanese words. And that...
For shoes.
It equates to foot pain. Mm. So it's like, me too, but kutu. Because my feet hurt because I have to wear high heels.
They do. And they also, like, I think they'll mess up your back and your posture. And, like, if you have to wear them every day like you would for a job. I kind of get it. You know, I'll wear heels, like, if I have a meeting or something. But, like, I wouldn't want to do that every day.
Yeah.
That hurts a lot.
It doesn't make sense unless they're also insisting on high heels for men's uniform and whatever businesses that is for the Department of Labor.
I think a tie would be an as useless accessory that would be required for men.
Yeah.
Although it doesn't cause...
It doesn't cause any, like, severe pain or back problems or...
They're uncomfortable as hell, but...
Yeah. Well, women wearing ties, isn't that kind of in fashion?
Yeah, it depends on... It's like menswear-inspired fashion for women.
How about Monday, Wednesday, Friday, women wear high heels. Tuesday, Thursday, and then the odd weekend. Or maybe we switch Fridays, then men wear high heels.
Yeah, that could work.
That's how we could solve this.
That could work.
I would pay money to see you guys walk around in heels.
Patreon stretch goal. What have I done?
Like the time we put you with an eyelash curler. Oh, no, you didn't actually use it. We just did it for the shot where you're like holding it up
really
to your eye.
Close to my eye.
Yeah, it's
uncomfortably
scary, isn't it?
Close to my eye.
Scary.
Yeah.
To use an eyelash curler.
Oh, yeah.
There is a tradition among graduating seniors of high school to pull some sort of prank on their way out. Most of them are just stupid. Not really well thought out.
Almost all ours were dealing with, like, farm animals. Bringing cows or pigs to school.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's been done before. But this guy had a unique take on it. And one that was really not very... it didn't have the annoyance factor that a lot of them do. But somehow it was interpreted as a threat.
Student posts high school for sale on Craigslist, and then he has been barred from graduation for an implied threat. Now, the authorities declined to press charges here, but because school administrators look like idiots, they gave him the harshest punishment possible. So, Truman High School for $12,725. And so he put it for sale on Craigslist, and the implied threat was, it's like, we're selling it because there are no more students soon.
Due to the loss of students coming up, which he was talking about.
Graduation.
Yeah.
The whole point of doing this in the first place.
And so they were like, he's going to kill everybody. That's what he's talking about. So
that's such a stretch. Like,
how quick would you buy a school for 13 grand?
We know someone who did.
Yeah.
And filled it with...
We know someone that bought it for a dollar because nobody else would buy it. It was just for the county sold it just for the tax revenue.
That would be... There's so much you could do with the school.
Yeah, as it turns out.
Wendell's like, he dreams of being able to have a school.
If it wasn't in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Now this...
And it's not just filled to the brim with crap that needs to be destroyed.
Well, it didn't start out that way.
We might have. We did a video on that. So.
We did. Yeah, there's a very old video of that school.
There were also definitely a generous rodent population in that building.
Yes.
Yeah, that would have to be taken care of. Sports, not really our thing here at the Level One News.
No.
I don't really follow the basketball at all. It's my least favorite of the sports, I would say. But there's a technology connection here because of eBay.
So many people are selling Steph Curry's hair lint on eBay thanks to Drake.
Oh, that's a... You know, they say that... what is a subreddit? Like, sentences that have never existed before.
Oh, yeah. Brand new sentences.
That's definitely one of them. So, you can see the video here. They have... I don't know what's going on here, but he picked some lint out of his hair. He announced that he was going to sell that on Twitter. And that... This seems like it's the real one. $90,000.
Wow. I bet someone's stupid enough to do that too.
But, well, speaking of stupidity, all of the clones that have popped up. Mm. This one only going for $1.25. A bargain. But they
for hair lint, yes.
They will be selling garden variety lint, not Steph Curry lint, which obviously...
Is it really even the same? I mean...
Well, who can say that Drake didn't, you know, lose that on his way home and just went to the dryer?
He's just selling lots of little pieces of lint.
I don't understand why this is matters.
Because people are stupid.
Okay.
And they are especially stupid when it comes to sports.
I like our next story a lot.
I think this is pragmatic. I get the Charmin extra strong, but the big rolls. See, I like to have an untethered roll of toilet paper.
Oh.
If you connect it to something, that annoys me. I like it to be free.
I don't mind the toilet paper being connected to something as long as it's in the exact right spot. And it never is.
Well, it's like usually they mount it too far back.
Yeah.
And you got to really, like, you know, twist. I don't like that. So,
let's get everything out.
Yeah, this is appealing. Oh, yeah. That's exactly it. You want to get everything out and then you want to clean it all up. You need a strong, free-floating toilet paper for that. But that's neither here nor there. Let's look at what... what's the brand? They don't announce the brand.
It's a John Wayne toilet paper.
It's Charmin. Oh, yeah.
It's rough, tough, and doesn't take shit off anybody.
Oh, I always heard it as the Indians.
Oh. Well, mine's the less racist, I guess, version of that.
Giant new toilet paper rolls with millennials in mind. So this is the Forever Roll with a free stand.
Now, they come in a single-occupant household version and a multi-occupant household version, which is even bigger. 12 inches in diameter.
This is, so they used to sell toilet, or not sell, but they had toilet paper like this in the dorms I went to school for. And it was the worst toilet paper imaginable.
Oh, yeah, that's
and tough. I'm sure this stuff is not any better.
Well, no, this is just regular Charmin.
Oh, we'll see.
It's two-ply.
We gotta do a video on that.
So you get...
Comparison bid. Review.
I think you get three rolls and the stand. Yeah, yeah, for $30.
That's actually not terrible for how big they are.
Yeah, toilet paper is expensive.
I wonder if it's actually less, though.
This roll could not be free. Like, this roll, not... You couldn't have an untethered roll with this.
That's true, yeah. It would just roll all over your house.
Of course, with the stand, you could place it exactly where it needs to be.
I could make that work. It would be difficult to, like... It's really like you have to do like the wrapping motion, you know, and you get that giant roll.
I think maybe the way out here is to have a mini spool and like spool off the big spool onto a mini spool that's portable.
Almost like you should just have a regular.
You know what else you could do is just buy the 8-pack like a normal human being, or they've already done that for you. You know what would be really bad is when your cats get a hold of the big roll.
Well, I was going to say, if they were really brilliant marketers, they would have had this go to like colon, like a portion of all proceeds for the giant paper roll goes to like
colon cancer research.
Or yeah.
Well, I don't think there's a big margin on it. I mean, three of those for 30? That's a lot of paper.
Or what's it? IBS, right? Is that?
Yeah, that's the thing.
I can't remember what that stands for, but it's.
But that's something... the thing where it's like breast cancer. So people will donate to breast cancer because that's sexy, but they won't donate to testicular cancer because that's disgusting. You can't associate your product with a disgusting thing.
But I mean, it's toilet paper, it's topical.
You still don't want to make that.
And if you're having trouble selling it, what, like, hit me up. I have marketing ideas for you. And you might do some good in the process.
Well, speaking of doing some good, how about this website?
The Sugar Daddy website founder to pay for women in Alabama to receive abortions out of state. That's another sentence, like...
That's just horrific.
So, there's a website where it's, like, seeking arrangement?
I think, yeah. Seeking arrangements, right. So, the idea is you enter into an agreement between usually a younger gal and an older guy with some money, and they take care of one another. But in Alabama, that could result in some unwanted pregnancy.
Sugar Daddy tries to keep his plaything stomach taut by paying for her abortion.
Yeah, so this...
Optics on that aren't great when you think about it for more than a second, but...
This guy started a...
What's the website owner?
And the name of it...
I know, but...
Fight Against Poverty, which masks the real thing here. Although, if you look at the... what was the name of that book where they figured out...
Freakonomics?
Yeah, yeah. Abortions have an amazing impact on the economy. It's like the best thing you can do to fix your economy is to get rid of unwanted children. So, this guy's saying, hey, if you're in one of these states... I think our state was on this list. It's good old Kentucky. And you need an abortion, they will work on getting you a hotel room and paying for it and getting you transportation to a more liberal part of the world.
Neat.
I don't think people are going to like it.
No. I think that's going to be a misstep for him, but who knows?
I didn't understand our next story. It doesn't make sense.
Well, of course
you don't. If
you haven't
been hit in the face with a ball, have you really grown up?
Wendell, you're not woke enough to understand this. That's your problem. You're still patriarchy asleep. Is so strong in your mind that you can't even comprehend this kind of truth.
Dodgeball isn't just problematic. It's an unethical tool of oppression, according to researchers. What researchers?
Someone who was bad at dodgeball. As someone who was bad at dodgeball, I don't really see how this, like... will ruin someone's childhood unless they're just really getting pelted all the time.
Capture the flag is nakedly militaristic.
But that's what made it fun. It's military without all of the scary parts.
So they're saying that this meritocracy, this is everything that's wrong with the world, is encapsulated in dodgeball. And we need to get this out of the schools because it is training our children to be monsters.
They said the same thing about tag. They said that it ostracizes the slowest child and makes them into a monster called it.
Wait, I can turn this around. So yeah, it's like for tag, it's like the, you know, one poor participant is dehumanized by being called it. What if you prefer gender neutral pronouns?
If you want to be called
it? You've crossed the line, article author. Oh no. Oh, what have you done? Oh.
I mean, I never really liked dodgeball growing up. Did you guys, when you played it, did you do it like, we did firing squad, like, you were just literally lined up against a wall, and then like a group of people had balls, and you just had to avoid getting hit. You didn't actually have a ball to throw back.
We did two lines, and if you catch the ball, that other person is out.
See, no, ours was not that way. Ours was literally just getting hit in the face with a ball.
You did Civil War style.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I was fine for it. I didn't like it, but I was fine for it.
I always thought catching the ball was overpowered. Because it was fairly easy to do.
Yeah, those balls, they're just big rubber balls.
Yeah. But, I
you never played it, Wendell?
I didn't even know that I was being oppressed.
No, I definitely played dodgeball, but it was more like, I mean, it was fine. I didn't...
Yeah, you don't, it's not something you think about and be traumatized by every day.
Also, you know, they talk about the slowest child, but you don't have to be that fast.
Not for dodgeball.
You can be...
Well, they're talking about for tag being the slowest child.
You could have speed or agility or... critical thinking gets you out of some of those situations. You could fake people out in dodgeball. It's It's almost like that story is just stupid. But in Australia, if you smell bad, there's a new product that you're going to want to look into because it's extreme.
Microsoft has announced the Xbox body wash. I thought
there's
this was a joke when I saw this.
There's no pictures in it, though.
There are pictures.
Are there? Oh, I didn't see that.
Oh.
Hype beast.
So there you go. It's
I don't get it.
It's that beautiful shade of Xbox green. Mm. Now, this article talks about the scent.
The scent smells like lime, right? Or citrus?
Pulsing green citrus.
Pulsing.
With top notes of kefir, lime, winter lemon, aromatic herbal middle notes of mint and sage, woody bottom notes of patchouli and clearwood. A range of natural essential oils.
Patchouli is not a pleasant smell.
Not if it's real strong. Mixed with those others, it might not be bad. It'll probably be very, like, you use that body wash, it's probably very tingly with all the stuff that's in it.
What was a bottom note, Wendell? Citrus on top of patchouli.
This is already getting dangerously close to a conversation. What body wash do you use? We're talking about tops and bottoms. This is not monetization friendly.
I use a bar of soap.
Do you use what is it? Ivory or whatever? Like
no,
the most basic bitch?
It's Dove, but it's for men.
Oh, I do like Dove soaps.
The green
they're good.
One. That's what I like it because it's not. It doesn't have that moisturizing slime after.
Oh, see, I like that about Dove soaps.
Yeah.
They're moisturizing. Sure would.
I used to have caffeinated body wash, but I couldn't really tell it was doing much.
That's how you know it's work.
I like Dr. Bronner's soap, too.
So this is, if you don't know about your residential cats, they are little murder machines.
They are. They're really bad for local environments.
People have taken like GoPro cameras and put them on their cats to see what they're up to all day. Turns out killing. And
for fun.
They don't
and
eat.
Profit.
Yeah, they don't necessarily eat everything that they kill, but they do kill all day long. And so researchers have tried to figure out ways to stop them. Turns out bills, they're smart enough to actually silence the bill as they're stalking, which is amazing. So this apparently is the answer.
UNBC professor says that cats can suppress the sound of warning bells on their collars. So they're going to do the flashy collar, like the colors, because like, and that's mainly for birds, because birds can see flashy colors, and so the cat won't be able to blend in.
And look how fabulous it is.
It looks like the Dilophosaurus from Jurassic Park, the one that like spit tar, and it had the flaps around its head. That's what it looks like.
How many?
Oh, look how happy he is.
It's just that. Like, what is going on? Why can't I catch birds anymore?
Yeah. Have I lost it? Did I ever really have it?
How many dark stories are there going to be where, you know, like a country wife loves birds and she's got bird feeders up, so she gets this and she puts it on her cat, and then the husband comes home from work and kills the cat. It's like, ain't no cat of mine going to be wearing gay pride.
Oh, no.
There goes our demonetization.
Oh, no.
There goes our monetization.
Oh, no.
But
he looks happy, though.
I won't be getting this for my cats because they are trapped indoors with me for the rest of their lives.
And if they kill some cockroaches, that's good for them.
Good job. No, no, it's centipedes. House centipedes.
House centipedes. Centipedes.
They don't go to the basement.
Yeah.
They don't get to go there. Yeah. But they did. One time I found a dried up wasp that the previous owners had in a closet somewhere. And that was their favorite toy. They loved that. Like for like 2 days, they batted that thing around until it disintegrated. I didn't have the heart to take it away from them. But if I were going to let them outside, I might think about getting these collars because then it's unfair to the little birds.
Were they attacking the banana tree or whatever it was that you had that was dying?
It was a palm tree.
Palm tree.
Yeah, it died.
Cats were the final straw.
And I think actually I put it outside before the last frost. That's what got it.
Whoops. Well, that's like level one news. It's like we're outside. The last frost is coming.
Winter is coming.
Winter is coming. Winter was one night.
It didn't even, like, it wasn't a big deal. It built up, and then it was like, oh, it's some stuff happened, and then it was over.
Did you watch it, Wendell? Are you caught up now?
I didn't even watch
it. You watched the memes?
Didn't even care.
I know.
Yeah. It's, I wanted to be able to come and tell you, it's like, oh, they're just over. You know, people love to exaggerate. No, they were right.
Right, yeah.
It's garbage.
It was so bad.
All right, we'll see you next week.
Bye.